what's up, guys? It's another episode of Seated with Level and
Tato Ramperi, baby.
So grab your favorite seat. And guys, we are super excited for today's podcast. We haven't been posting a lot, but the last video we posted was a huge banger with Hunters. And yo, but it's a new week, new season.
Yeah, yeah. So if you guys have a so it's my turn to speak. So it was started off so high, I was just like, yo.
Tato was like, yo, what? Yeah, yeah, I threw you into the deep end, yo.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to be back, guys. We did a really cool collab with Hunters. So if you guys can please check out that episode, we'd really appreciate it. That's how we keep getting more sponsors. And it was just a really cool experience. We got to meet Musa Keys. We got to see Shokana again. Got to meet Trezor. Really, really amazing week. We actually shot that like this week, actually.
Yeah.
So it's the second part we're doing this week. We were gone for 3 weeks. I just want to say, I'm sorry.
Let
me explain to you. We were really, really tired.
There's a lot going on.
We had set up once and then we didn't shoot. The other time, we just canceled the shoot. So like, these things happen, but we're good. You know, I think it was a good break. I even called it a production break. So it's good to be back. This episode is going to be very, very nice. We're doing it like, I'll just say back to basics.
Yeah.
Like we've started like planning a lot, you know, trying to have more structure, trying to do better things on the podcast, communicate a better message. But we used to really just press record and start speaking.
Yeah.
So today it's one of those moments where it's back to basics, press record and start speaking. But there's a topic that I'm very, very excited for. The topic is basically touching on like sexualizing of men, masturbation, which is really, really, I think...
Being comfortable in your skin as well. Yeah. Like huge things. But yo, if you're new to the podcast, welcome to Seated with Level and Tato Ramperi, a podcast about comedy and opening up the inner mind of young 20-year-olds.
Just young people.
Are you still young? Do we still consider...
Age is definitely like what perspective.
Yeah, it is a perspective thing. Like, because if someone that's 30 is going to say, yo, you're young as hell.
Yeah, because when I chill with Lebo and them, I feel like I'm old because they're all 25, 23. But when I'm with my friends, my telling them, I feel like I'm young because they're all 28, 29.
Yeah.
And when I'm chilling with my older friends who are like 30, we'll send this on them. I'm like, okay, cool. Also send this, I'm sorry if you're not 30. But like my older friends, they're like, yo, I know, like I've still got time. These people are like married and they have wives and stuff. Yeah.
But yo, let's start off with our favorite question. How are you? How are you doing?
Okay.
Have you even thought about it yet? I don't even think you've had like time to think.
I think I'm good, bro. I'm in a really good place. I bought a lot of shit from Shein. Like a lot.
Yo, my
apartment is finally like lit up as fuck, which is really, really nice. I've always been a big fan of like low lighting. Even when we're doing like the Pinterest boards, shooting for apartments, the videos we'd save. Like people, I used to watch like, I think I've watched over 50 videos of people saying, I think you've seen them too. I don't use the lighting at the top. I use the lighting at the bottom. So like, I've always wanted to get lamps and stuff, but the ones in SA just suck. I finally got like colorful LED strips and lights from Shein. So that makes me feel good. So my space is looking better. Also got a bunch of clothes. This is from Shein. Like I'm wearing this necklace. All these rings and necklaces are from Shein.
Looking good.
So it's dope. On a Tato level, like I'm also good, bro. I think I'm just like, I'm seeing everything that I've planned happen. So I'm just like, okay, cool. I need to take a step back and like, you know, replan, re-strategize, make the business better, like make more money, like hire more, you know. But yeah, that's how I am. I'm good. How are you?
Yo, I'm honestly down pad right now. I think I'm very low on energy. I'm very low in terms of the work, which is funny enough because like I think my TikTok has been probably like the most active it's been
since
like the beginning of the year. But I just think that it's just that thing of guys, you know how it goes. We're in mid-year and there's mid-year accomplishments that I thought I would have done by now because literally like next month is now.
Yeah,
and that's like what, the fifth month.
So
we're nearly on the 6 month of the year. We're so close and we're nearly half the year. And obviously I had a lot of plans for what I wanted for myself half year, but not everything came about. But equally, a lot of things did come about. So I'm learning to be a bit more proud about myself and etc. But it's a journey and etc. So I won't lie and say I'm not. But like I think that like I will be. And I think that's what's very important right now.
What were you hoping to achieve by
the So one of the biggest things I was hoping to achieve was to secure myself financially, secure myself physically and secure myself mentally. I think mentally I've put in a lot of work via like the podcast. I've put in a lot of work speaking to myself and like developing myself and researching more about that. Body wise, I don't think I've been gymming and stuff. I've signed up for gym and everything. It's just that like low key, it's boring to gym alone. What else is there? And then financially, obviously I think I am financially secure. I just had a really tough month. There's a lot of the things. Cause keep in mind, even if you're not doing well in business, you still have to pay your manager. You still have to pay for all these things. And I think that like, it overwhelmed. And I think that I live my life like a balance beam type vibe. So I feel as if that's very bad, because when one thing tips over, all of a sudden, it can be the smallest thing, but all the good that's happening is now outweighed by one of the small things. And living in that balance beam mentality has been very tough for me, but I'm trying to just get out of it. Like right now, I'm like probably like the brokest I've been this year, but I'm still fine. Mm. I have a flat, my car's working, I have food at home. You understand what I'm saying? But
I like that you touched on like the balance beam thing. Like I think I've seen you behave like this for years, like since I've known you.
Yeah.
Since you came home. Like every time, like, because Lebo's probably doing the best he's ever done in his life, right?
Ever,
now.
Yeah.
Having the best position, the best relations with friends and family and people. Like
he's love, just, everything.
Everything is good. Like he has probably never been so happy, so content. But yet, when one small thing goes bad,
it
completely misses his like
aura, energy, mindset,
and just view on life. And I think that's a conversation worth having. Like when things are going bad, like what should allow for you to
balance,
go into that tipping phase,
yeah,
and what shouldn't allow for you to go into the tipping phase? And when you're allowing things that shouldn't be letting you tip, how do you bring yourself back and recenter? You know,
guys, I think with the balance beam mentality, we have to stipulate what is your center. How the balance beam mentality works is that obviously things will make you tip, such as, for example, dropping your keys and you're getting home from your flat and you're trying to unlock it, it drops. Now that problem just goes,
you're still like,
But you have to realize all things come from the center of the beam. And that is your religions, your belief, your fitness, your mental health, and all those things. And if you take time to elevate those things and place boundaries to protect yourself, so while you're in your balance beam mentality, the tipping won't be as hard. You know what I'm saying? So if you have your body rights and everything, and you're still going to gym, you're telling me
if you're gymming, you got a good job, you're happy, you're cooking and stuff, like it's hard for things to upset you.
No, I think
because that's what you said. You said if you've got all those things right.
No. So I think with the balance beam thing, also it's understanding that like you are allowed to feel, but you're not allowed to now. Your world is not now ending.
No, but you just said now that once you have all those things in order,
yeah,
it'll be less chance of you.
Like no. It won't be less chance of you, but you'll get out of the slum faster. Sitting with your feelings is important, but it's the timing of sitting with your feelings that I think disrupts people. So if I punch you now, obviously you're going to say, ow, that's the first thing you're going to say. Maybe you're going to fight me back. But sitting with your feelings for next month, you say, level punch me. Then the year after, you say, you level punch me. You have now created that problem to become what? The center of the beam. So now everything just keeps tipping. I don't know if I'm making sense,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that makes
because your center is so poor.
Yeah,
no, you feel me?
That makes sense.
But what do you think?
Yeah, don't make those. So when you were saying the previous things, like, what? Dude, you can have a balanced lifestyle, you can still get upset. Like,
yeah.
I don't think that's going to mess up with your emotions.
Yeah.
But the time thing makes sense. Like, the longer you sit with your feelings, and the more, like, the amount of power you give something happening to you,
yeah,
the more it's going to affect you.
Yeah.
So if I see a little pinching me, it's going to make me, then I'm going to be, But if I then reclassify my keys falling as a silly thing, like imagine my keys fall, I'm like, yo, I need to rest. I'm tired. I can't even see myself opening the key. I'm working so hard. Let me go watch a movie. Versus, everything's been going so badly. And then, so I think it's the way you perceive the actions that usually upset you.
So my question to you, because obviously I struggle with seasonal depression, right? And I think that one of the biggest things for me is, one, the sitting of your feelings and timing, but as well as the weight of problems. I sometimes fail to see that like a problem might not be as big as I perceive it to be.
What I'm saying now.
Yeah, like it's exactly what you're saying. For you, how do you say to yourself, okay, this problem is enough for me to now shut down and reset? And I'm talking about that day off. Because I think a lot of people deal with, you know, struggling to say, okay, cool. Like, let's say now, we'll keep using this punching analogy. If you punch me, then I'm like, yo, I'm so upset that tomorrow's I'm going to take the entire day off. You know what I'm saying? What sort of waiting for a problem needs to, yo, I don't know if I'm making sense.
Yeah, so, I get you. So like, how do you, what's my process to weigh if a problem should be taking me down?
Yeah.
Or what's up, how do I weigh if a problem should be like letting me tip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what, because I think that's the thing with men, especially, I think with women it's much more easier because they're much more in touch with their feelings, they're much more self-aware in perceiving how they feel. But with men, they could be going through the worst time of their life, but they don't tip because of the thing of trying to hold everything within, right?
Yeah.
What is a time when you're allowed to tip?
I think I can only tip when I'm unable to do the things that I love.
Yeah.
That's when I'll truly react and be like, I'm so depressed. Mm. If, for example, let's say I love shooting this podcast and for some reason, like...
You can't.
I can't shoot the podcast ever again.
Mm.
Like, if I can't shoot for 3 weeks, like, for example, I've been wanting to shoot the past 3 weeks, but we haven't been able to.
Yeah.
I didn't let it, like, let me tip. Because I could have easily been like, bro, what the fuck? We haven't shot.
Yeah.
I could have easily been like, ah. But I was like, you know what? Nah, it makes sense right now because we're not shooting, but, like, this is a problem right now. So this is...
We're having
this,
real life this, problems.
Yeah, this weighs more than... And the podcast. So for me, it's to stop me from doing what I love. So stopping me from shooting the podcast, something stopping me from seeing my friends, that'll quickly make me like tip and like remove that problem. Something stopping me from enjoying the things I love doing. Yeah. So that's the only time I tip.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like other things, I'll just always communicate and be like, dude, I actually don't like it when this happens. Or, I don't like this. I don't like that. And then I'll try prevent the tip. I'll communicate the tip. Like recently now, actually, like I was talking to someone, I was making like a new friendship, a new friend. And this person, like every time I speak to them, like it was weird, bro. Like every
time. Is this a male or female? So I just need a male.
This is a female. So every time I would speak to them, like they were very like obsessed with them just expressing what's going through them.
Mm.
And then whenever I would speak about like I'm going through or something, like I wouldn't be received.
Mm.
Right. So they had like huge main character syndrome. Mm. And for me, it was just they're like, ah, dude, I'm not going to be in a friendship with you where it's like, it's all about you and it's not balanced. So for me, that was a tipping point, not being able to feel content in a space with someone.
I want to have a good relationship. I want to add on to that because a lot of the time, guys, we're going to perceive our balance beam mentality to be a thing of it's coming from an internal source, which is just you. But a lot of the times we forget that the spaces that surround us also contribute to our mental state, which might also make us tip. And that can be anything from, you know, a fight with a partner to the smallest thing of saying, okay, cool, when are you going to pay me back to a friend? And I think that brings me into what I wanted to actually speak about, which is how do your friends contribute to your tipping? And I want to go into this because we're going to go still more into, you know, we're going to speak about sex and appearance and etc. and go into that. But I want to speak about how your friends can contribute to your tipping. Guys, it is very important to understand that even when your friends are doing really well and they're not contributing any evil to your life, they're not saying, yo, let's go to the clubs and etc. wada wada. They might not hold space for you and that might make you tip more. So let's say now my friends and I, we do this thing, well, they do it. They do this thing where they go bowling every weekend on Wednesdays, right?
Oh.
But because of the way I am wired, for example, right? I don't like going out during the week unless it starts Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You feel me?
Yeah.
But I don't like going out during the week. The way I'm wired, I love after work resting because there's work tomorrow. Yeah. I like it when, if we're chilling, I like the fact that tomorrow maybe might be slow, etc. It's a Friday, etc. But they do this thing on every Wednesday, they go bowling. And Kima, they're not doing...
It's amazing, by the way.
They love it. It's amazing, etc.
So much fun.
Kima, they're not doing anything wrong. But I always feel as if like, yo, I wish I could go. But it's just like, I'm not... why. So sometimes our inner conflict with our friendships, because I always feel like going, but I never actually get to go. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm always just there like, it's how I'm wired, as I explained. I never get to go. So it's a thing of like, I always feel like, oh, I'm outside of the group. But it's a thing of like understanding that, yo, this is just life. You know?
And I mean, I think like maybe also to give you perspective, for us, we view it as, oh, he doesn't like bowling. We'll see him another time.
Yes.
Like it does not take away from the friendship. It doesn't take anything.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say. Sorry, you're really getting to my point. There are times when your friends are doing nothing wrong, but it still gives you sadness.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay. And I think people can preview it of like maybe your friends being successful or super successful and you also want to be successful. Or maybe your friends are closer than you are. Or they tell you, they come back and they tell you stories from groove that you never went to or a large part of participation. But all of those things can add on to your tipping.
Yeah.
And that is because, not because you're not being seen, not because you're not being loved, but it's because of also the person you are. And what I want to say is that see where you fit in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And on that mood conversation, I think like, that's why, like, for example, I cut this person off so recently because I feel like friends and people you see regularly contribute to your mood so much. Obviously, we spoke about the time thing. Obviously, like, the best versions of ourselves, like, when it comes to time, like, when it comes to giving a problem a specific amount of time, we'll try and make it, like, a small amount, right? But obviously, sometimes a problem can make you feel upset for, like, a good 2 hours.
Yeah.
So, now, imagine I've got a friend who's not serving me.
Yeah.
And they constantly, like, are just talking about themselves. Just
the take.
They're taking from my time. I'm going to be upset now. And then now it's going to mess up with my center point, my center of peace and center of happiness. So now they're pulling from me and then they're putting me, my scale out of balance.
Mm.
That's why I want to say friends are so important. Your friends really need to serve you and make you feel good. And of course, like, sometimes you can have ups and downs.
Yeah.
But if your friends, your circle, people around you are making you feel good, you really need to reconsider it because it's going to mess with your core. And the biggest problem with us, especially when we're very young, is that we really struggle to see how much of an impact the people around us have.
Yeah.
How much...
And it's a huge impact.
Yeah. And how, like, impactful... Maybe, let's say, Labour always coming to me and speaking negative.
Mm.
That can really affect, like, me and like, how I view things because I then just get used to speaking negative things, hearing negative things, and then life becomes so negative because now my view is like, oh, everything in the world is so bad.
Yeah.
When there also is so much good. And it's very hard for us to find a balance of seeing that the good and the bad has to coexist for good to exist and for bad to exist, you know?
Yeah, and I want to touch on this because obviously they're speaking from the other side. And I know there's a couple of viewers who are saying, yo, but guys, what if I just see life as like this horrendous ball of fire that just doesn't want to get better and better. And I'm here to tell you that like, it is okay for you to feel, but the actions you take based on your feelings is that's the disconnect. Because, you know, Tato's not saying, yo, like, the person who, like, vents, etc., is horrendous because they're going through the things. He's saying, okay, cool, you're allowed to feel what you're feeling, but the actions you're taking, you're now dumping onto me. That is the point that is unfair. And we need to be very...
And we don't see the how much that takes.
Yeah, we don't. We don't
see how much that takes. And of course, like, dumping is okay and good. I mean, you have friends to communicate. But now, imagine if someone is just dumping, and when you try dump, let's say, like, someone's taking the stress off of their shoulders and giving it to you, right?
Yeah.
And then now you're sharing that problem together, even though it's their problem. Like, imagine when you try to do that, they don't allow for you to do that.
Mm.
So now all you're holding is what? Your problems and their problems.
Yeah. And it's your jug, by the way.
It's your jug. And you don't even get to, like, release some of that. Like, obviously, releasing
your jug. It just stays full, boy.
But it's, like, nice for someone to know what I'm going through. You get to communicate. You don't get to do that.
You don't get to pour.
You don't get to pour. It's why it's so important for you to really, like, you need to choose who's in your life, guys. Yeah.
So then, okay, cool. So I think that, obviously, with viewership and stuff, I think we're all obviously growing up, guys.
Mm.
We're all aging. And that brings me to one more topic before we really dive into the really deep stuff is, because obviously now I've had this conversation with Langa all the time. I say, yo, like I met this guy. He's probably going to watch this, but he's basically back from Korea, right? And we used to be like the closest of twos that we used to talk all the time, etc. But now he's obviously come back. But as a man, it is very hard, and I mean this with all my heart, it is very hard to make new male friends. It is very easy to make female friends.
Because they also not really like...
It is very, very, very easy to make female... Because keep in mind, female friends are...
They're surface level, bro.
They're surface level.
It's not about how surface level
female... But making a male friend is literally opening up to everything that you are. They're going to meet your friends as well. Will my friends like them? Will my friends feel as if I'm close with that person if I spend time?
Will they join my circle?
Will they join my circle? And funny enough, I was speaking to Nang about this, and she was just kept telling me like, oh no, but obviously you'll just see the, that one this weekend, and then you'll see your boys this weekend. But I was like, no.
Every weekend
is my boys. We want to see if that one can fit in. Or you know what I'm saying? So I think as I'm growing older, I'm finding it harder and harder to actually make friends.
Yeah, same.
Male friend, sorry, excuse me, male.
You've also seen me try. Remember, you've seen me
Yes, yo, and it's...
And level, every time I try, level goes, this person is not what you
yeah,
think.
Yeah, I literally always say to Tato, like, Tato will try to bring someone into, like, because we call it the inner circle, right? So we have our inner circle, the people that know.
Also, quick one, that's what our memberships are called, inner circle. So if you guys are not subscribed to our membership and you haven't seen the added value, the added conversations from Thought Digest as well as Seated, make sure you guys subscribe to our membership and you guys can pay a fee every single month of 149. But if you just want to support us, you guys can pay, I think, 20 Rand or 29 Rand a month just to support us. So definitely, you got the link in the description. Press join. If you're on your phone, you have to go to that link. But if you are on your laptop, there should be a join button.
I'm trying to skip this advert. Doesn't want to work. Doesn't want to work. But no, guys, for real though. Definitely, yeah. I've seen Tato Chai. And guys, keep in mind, as you grow older, you obviously want things to now have more purpose. You want things to serve you, as Tato's saying, your friendship. And I love my friends, but they're a bunch of hooligans. I want someone to go to paddle with, you know?
Yeah.
I want someone to say, yo, let's go drink wine and go to an art exhibit.
Someone to bounce ideas with also.
And I know you guys are like, yo, you want someone to date. But it's like, no. I just want a male friend who wants to do the wholesome stuff as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's very hard as you grow older as a man to incorporate a new man into your life. Because
it's equivalent to like bringing a sibling. Like yes. You see, let's say we're chilling as siblings. It's equivalent to saying, imagine you're chilling at family dinner and then a new person joins and that's now your brother.
Yeah.
That's the exact same thing. Like, does your mom like them? Does your dad like them?
Do I even like them?
Do you like them? Can you tolerate them in your space for long periods of time?
Yeah.
Like, can they come join you on the things you guys do all the time?
And the people that I see struggle with this the most are women.
Yeah.
Because with women, you know, I feel as if, I don't know what happens, but as soon as you guys either graduate or you're still in university, you guys find a group of people that you die with. And yeah. That's it. You don't like adding new people. And if you do, it's very superficial.
Yeah.
It's very superficial.
Or they're completely a shame. I think we say superficial because we're influencers. So a lot of our friends are also influencers.
Sorry.
Because like, I know like the...
We can be a bit rough.
The everyday person who's not necessarily an influencer doesn't really have superficial surface level friendships. They just have like surface level, like work colleague or whatever. But influencers, you guys are lying to each other. Yo, on Instagram, it's, oh my gosh, you go girl. You're so amazing in person. You guys are too scared to even greet each other.
Or you don't even support each other. Or if that one's partner cheats, you won't even tell me.
Yeah.
Like, but anyways, we want to actually go on cheating. We want to speak about how lust contributes to a man's life from an early age. I want to speak about how sex is also a very crucial part of relationships, but also can be defined per relationship. I want to speak about that. And as well as also just going into a fact of what our bodies as men mean to us.
Yeah, so we got this conversation from...
A TikTok.
Instagram.
Yeah, I sent it to you. I think it was a reel.
So I want to play the video because I think it'll give you guys a lot of perspective.
Yeah.
On what we're speaking about, it was definitely a TikTok. But yeah, this video will really help you guys understand because when Lebo sent it to me, I was like, damn, I didn't even use it for the conversation. I was just like, yo, damn, that's so hectic. And even when the guy was saying stuff, I was like, ah, Lebo's whining. I was like, oh, damn, this guy's actually not whining.
He's spitting.
I actually don't believe that men are born with this insatiable, uncontrollable desire to f constantly. I don't believe that. I believe that roughly men and women have similar desires. But one thing that doesn't get spoken about enough is the brutalization and the repression of boys' relationships with sexuality as children. Men have been abused as boys. I hear about it all the time. There'll never be a statistic about it because men will never fucking tell you unless you're fucking close to them. I think it's done by men and women. And I think the ripple effects of these boys who've been abused becoming men is this kind of behavior, is this disdain and this inability to measure their own sexual desires. And that women have been through this too, right? But feminism has done such amazing things in this regard. The shame that is put on boys the second that masturbation or awareness of the penis even comes around is nuts. Like, what dad is sitting down talking to their son about masturbation? No one. Because everyone thinks it's funny or like disgusting. That's the vibe. That you have this shame attached to you from early. And even when that hasn't happened, those same boys are also over-sexualized by society. I know girls all the time will see a little 5-6-year-old boy and be like, oh, how's my future boyfriend? I seen a mother the other day, the kid must have been 3, crawling over a woman on a different table, and she went, don't mind him, he's just flirting.
Yeah, so...
I'd never say that about a little girl. So from early, everyone supports the idea that not only should a boy be ashamed of their penis, but they should also use it because that's how people see them, that they're actually just future sex givers.
So with what that guy's saying, I loved it a lot, and that's why I wanted to bring in the topic to the podcast, because I felt as if one thing that is always questioned with men is lust.
Yeah.
Like, you guys always want women. You guys love, you know, this perception that you are this horny person all the time. We're just ready to go at any point. Which, keep in mind, a lot of my boys are, but no, I'm not saying they're not. A lot of my boys are, like, you know, very much in touch with their sexual energy, right? But I don't think it's this dying need of saying, yo, I want to have sex with every woman that I encounter.
Yeah.
And a lot of women have this
misconception
that, like, let's say Tato talks to a girl. Let's say we just at a club or whatever. Or actually, no, let's not make it a club. Let's make it a restaurant. And Tato has a conversation with a girl who just greets him. A lot of women, if I'm in that seat as Tato's partner, will say, okay, cool, that he wants that girl. Yeah. When in reality, Tato could have just had the most friendliest conversation. And I wanted to speak about this misconception of lust and men.
Yeah, same. So with me also, I want to do the same thing. But also, I want to unpack like what this guy said, right? So he spoke about men being sexualized from a young age.
Yes.
And a lot of things that he spoke about is basically like, I received it as like, we're not looking at all of the factors that lead to men behaving the way they behave now. So that one's a big one. Like, he said he could never be like, oh, she's flirting with me, this cute little 3-year-old girl. That's fucking weird.
It's low-key pedophilia.
It's pedophilia. But then if you do it to a boy, he's like, oh, he's flirting. Look at him. Like, people even go as far like, oh, he loves boobies, sucking in them titties. Like, he's like, it's easy to sexualize.
He loves this thing.
He loves it. Like, he loves boobs.
It's very easy to sexualize men.
Yeah. Like,
very easy.
A little girl grabs boobs or like grabs a man's chest. It's not like, oh, he likes, you know, ntota.
Yeah.
But a little boy grabs boobs. He's like, hey, studying young. It's already ready.
That's my boy.
Yeah. So I think that could actually big, I don't know, we should check if there's studies on that. But I think that could play a big role into men actually, some men behaving in that manner. Because, you know, you say like not all men are horny, but I think a lot of guys really are horny.
Yeah.
A lot of guys
are in touch with their sexual energy
almost every single day.
Yes, 100%.
In a good and a bad way. 100%. I think that another thing that he spoke about, which really like messed me up, was like boys not speaking about them being taken advantage of growing up, or them being hypersexualized, or them being made to feel like a certain thing. Like, I know that, like, oh, I know when I was like, I think I was like 9 or like 10, and this girl was like, yo, let's go to the corner. Like, I think it would be really cool if you're like, I want to try something new with you.
Oh, yes, I know the story. Go ahead.
So she comes with her, so it's her and her friend. So I think she's very, like, she understands, like, what sex is, dry humping, all these things. She's fully aware. I had no idea, like, what any of those things are. So now she puts me into the corner. School is finished. Parents are driving past. I'm scared. I'm like, what's going on? I, at the time, had no idea that, like, my penis could enlarge.
Mm.
I had no idea that I could ejaculate. Like, I didn't know any of those things. And this girl comes on top of me. And she starts like rubbing on me. Like, she starts driving me, and her friend's watching. And she's like, oh, I can't feel anything. Then I'm like, what are you meant to be feeling?
Yeah.
You get me? So like, I know with me, like, that's one story that happened to me. Like, some hand grabbed me and I didn't even know what was going on. I know also another one, which is like, I've never actually spoken about this. It's like, yo, it's crazy. There's another one. This guy, like, I think it was also a similar age. Some boy in the bathroom was like, he kind of locked me into the bathroom.
I know the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he kind of like tried to like dry hump me.
Yeah.
Right. And he's like doing all these things. I was just like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
No idea of what's happening.
But here you are, a child, victim of sexual assault.
But by other kids. But still, I mean, it's still sexual assault.
Yeah. And now you grow up years later, and let's say you enjoy the act of sex, right?
Yeah.
And now you're seen as this horn dog. But when in reality, that's all society has ever expected of you.
That's crazy. Because with me, I think the way it affected me. So, okay, I love sex. Like, I love having sex. I love sexual activities with, like, you know,
me too,
a partner. But I wouldn't say I'm like a horn dog. Like, I'm not there like, yo, I want to like fuck every like 4 hours I'm trying to go in.
Woo!
You get me? Like when I'm with the girl, like, it takes a lot of trust and bolding for me to have sex with her.
Yeah.
So maybe we could play it back and be like, because of all these things that have happened to me as a young man, maybe that's why I need to feel like a true connection to somebody, because out of fear of what this person's intentions could be.
Yeah. And it's a big thing with the course, because Tato's not speaking about like, okay, cool, like the things that happen to you in your adolescence and as you grow up obviously contribute to you now. But I want to say it's also equal for women. A lot of women have to hide their lust away in order to satisfy society's needs and behavior. And I know a lot of girls who are extremely in touch with their sexual energy, but because of public perception of, you know, you're a hoe, you know, you're a slut, all those things, they hide behind the fact of like hiding away their lust. When men are expected to be in front and have all the lust and initiate sex and wada wada, etc. And it's such a crazy concept, because a lot of men actually you'll actually be surprised. A lot of men, yes, do love sex, right? And they are in touch with their sexual energy. But the fact is that a lot of the time, they just do it. Like, they just do it because they just like, ah, whatever. I know so many times, because I'm telling also my stories, where a woman has presented sex to me, and I didn't really like feel like it, but I felt as if like, if I said like, I don't want to have sex,
you felt obligated to do it.
I felt obligated. And and where does that derive from? It's deriving from, you have to be a man.
And guys don't actually speak about this.
We don't. Sometimes I don't have sex.
That's a big thing. Like, yeah. I know, like, okay, of course, a lot of women are used to being courted and like, you know, a guy trying to get into their pants. But there are multiple moments where guys don't necessarily want to have sex, but because their partner is showing any little desire to do so,
they're willing to please. Yes.
And it's like, it's so scary for me, like a couple relationships ago. It's so funny that I can say a couple relationships ago. That's actually not a good thing. But like, my point is that not any recent exes.
You're human, Sato.
But a couple of relationships ago, I remember like, this changed my perspective of my ex. She was like, ready to have sex. And I just was like, yo, dude, I'm having a shit week. Like, I don't want to do this right now. And she's like, nah, come on. Like, come on. Like, she's putting my pants on. Like, come on. Like, don't be weird. Like, come on. I really want you.
It's just coercion.
And I'm just there like, yo, dude, I really don't want to do this. Like, just chill. Then she kisses me like, no, come on. Don't be with me. I'm just there like, ah, fuck it. Whatever. And then I remember like, literally now I'm obviously doing the act of sex. Then I was just there like, yo, dude, I really just don't feel like doing this thing right now. And she's like, no, come on. And she pushes me in. And she's pulling me close. Like, no, come on. Come on.
Yeah.
Then I was just there like, away. And then I remember faking an orgasm that day, and then I was never able to view that person like in the same light again, because the innocence that they had in them disappeared for me. Because like, it's like a thing of like, dude, I said this so many times to you, and if I would never do this to you, but you let your sexual energy just take advantage, like overwhelm you so much
to the point of where you have to coerce. And I think equally for women, again, coercion is one of the biggest things that happens in a sexual relationship. The act of a man wanting to have sex and etc. But you also, I also want to just say, you have to also understand, we've been built up in a way that if I express my liking towards you through the act of trying to have sex with you. Because for men, that is the ultimate act of attraction.
Okay.
For women, the ultimate act of attraction could be a cuddle. For women, an act can be kissing, can be showering together, could be washing each other's hair. But for all men, I'm generalizing.
So are you saying that you'd never be able to be with someone where the sex is bad?
No, I wouldn't be able to. Because for me, and that's another point I want to say, a lot of men view that, because again, as I said, for men, attraction, the ultimate act is sex, right? Yeah. It's the most highest value thing. It's like, oh, if I'm attracted to this person, obviously I'm gonna want to have sex with them, and I'm gonna try to have sex with them.
Yeah, true.
But in reality, that has just been placed onto us that you need to be the sort of provider and pleaser. If the woman doesn't want to have sex with you, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah,
there's something wrong with your guys. There's been so many times. Yes, no means no. But obviously, there's been so many times when a hunt says no to you, you feel as if like, yo, what? As a man, you automatically feel immature. Like you feel like, maybe my body's like not the one. You ultimately feel like, oh my God, like, is this girl not attracted to me? You know, you start playing these ideas in your head. And it's all because of men being over-sexualized. It's all because men are perceived to be these horn dogs. And it's all because
I don't think that's...
I'm telling you, bro. I am telling you 100%. I hear what you're
saying, like, away those insecurities.
Obviously, this is a very controversial topic.
Yeah. Like, away those scenarios that are played up in your head exist.
Yes.
Those situations exist.
And the insecurities,
like, where you feel like, okay, am I not enough? But you can't say they derive from being over-sexualized. Maybe there's just an insecurity that exists.
I don't agree.
I think if you took someone that was never sexualized their whole life, you put them in a situation, they're 29, there's a goal that's there, and they try to get their goal, and their goal doesn't want.
Yeah.
Like, it's not due to them being over-sexualized. It probably exists because rejection is just not nice. I agree with the things you're saying, but I'm saying you can't link those things. You can't be like, the reason why guys get so mad is because they were over-sexualized their whole life.
No. I'm telling you the truth. And you know why? Because it's not only a woman who over-sexualizes us. It is also men. Men, the first thing you come from back from my heart, it's like, what, etc. So, did you smash? Not, you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, that's
failure to smash, Tato, or to your failure to have a sexual activity with a woman ultimately results in men being like, yo, why didn't you want you. When in reality, her affection, her attraction translates to you in a way different way.
That's true though.
But I'm telling you the truth.
No. I'm agreeing with the... So I don't agree with the link. I'm agreeing to what you're saying though. Like every time, like let's say like when you go on a date and you come back, like there's some friends, like I know, like for example, some guys will be like, yo, did you smash?
Yeah.
But some guys will be like, yo, how was it?
How was it? Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's equal.
But I think it's like it's guys that have a young like mindset.
Yeah.
That will be like, have you smashed? Did you smash? Yeah. Instead of asking you like, how was the date? How was she like? And that can be a big reason as to why men feel the need to
can I say something? What did you say? You said the young what?
Young mentality.
Young mentality. So as you can see, in your younger years.
Hold on. What I was saying is that like a guy asking if you smash, that can lead to you maybe wanting to have sex and stuff because that is what the end goal is perceived to be.
You said in your what? In your young.
Yeah.
In your young. Because as you grow older as a man, you start realizing that, like, no, man, you know, women will communicate their needs and etc. And then you start realizing that, no, man, it's not only just about having sex with this person if I'm attracted to them.
Yeah.
There's other things that we can, like, touch into. There's other things of me expressing my attraction to this person. Yeah. But when you're young, what happens? All you think about is, like, yo, like, I can't wait to have sex with this person, basically.
Yeah.
And that's what basically the link I'm trying to say. But we also have to speak about how our bodies play a huge part into our sexual lives. I grew up skinny and I grew up extremely insecure about my skinniness. You know, guys, I'm going to be honest. I've never said this on the internet. I've only told Khunze this, actually. I'm a size 7'8", right? I am extremely insecure about having small feet.
Seriously?
Yeah, bro, but like women associate bigger feet with bigger, peni.
I don't think they care.
Is that the multiple word for penises?
I don't think women care what
size. Hey, Munna. Every time, boy, you don't know what it feels like to put on your hand shoes and they fit, boy.
I am not an advantage you don't being a size 10.
Guys, you don't know how to...
So you go around looking guys like, any guy's a size 10.
Have you ever put on a hand shoes?
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable. I fit. That's what I'm trying to... Men who have small feet, bro, like, it's a very... We don't like talking about it a lot. Boy, Khunze's behind the cameras, guys. Khunze, am I right? Just nod yes, nod... You see? It's a huge insecurity for men.
I'm speaking from privilege.
You're speaking from size 10, boy. I wish I could be size 9.
But I remember, like, I think C has a size 8 also, man.
Yo.
And I was like, you're a size 8. But it's like, nah, bro, I can get into like a 9, 10 though.
Why?
I'm like, why are you getting mad? Why?
But anyway, so the perception of our bodies into our sexual lives is a huge thing. Yeah. I know there are so many times, you know, I've had sex in the dark, like I switch off the lights, etc. Because I used to be so scared of women perceiving me as like, oh my God, this guy's skin and bones, basically. Before I used to like, because I used to be very, very skinny. So I used to be like, yo, like my arms used to be, guys, Tato, you know how skinny I was.
Yeah, I think you're making it seem like you were like skinny. Like
perception, I guess.
Perception, yeah. Like you were okay, bro. You were like a normal average South African person.
Nah, bro. Like I was skinny.
Like, I'd say you were nice.
I remember I could see my ribs.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's healthy. Yeah, cool. But I remember I could be able to see my ribs, and that's how skinny I was. And I remember like,
okay, how do you feel now with this weight?
I feel much more comfortable.
Okay.
I feel much, much more comfortable, and I think that like. I think that it's actually so crazy because I've spoken to a lot of my friends and the number one thing that we, like, not number one, maybe number three thing that we always speak about is how, or that we barely speak about, rather, is how our bodies are like a huge insecurity to us. Guys, picture the first time you get naked in front of the person that you actually want. You want them to perceive you in this extreme attraction.
Serious. You know what I realized?
You don't agree?
No, I agree with you. But I realized like the older... So I've grown up on a complete other scale, right? The older you get, the more you realize that like it's about how the person...
Feels
and responds in that moment, right? True. Like a lot of people don't really care. Like a lot of people really don't care. Like
a lot.
They really don't care. Obviously, when it exists, they care.
Mm.
But what they care about is... like I feel like women really just care about you. And then you must be close to their type. And then from there, like, they don't really care. Like,
and then let's go on to the other side. How do you think women are with their body types? They're very sensitive.
They're very sensitive. That's why I think it's very important to always affirm someone of how they look. Let's say you're attracted to somebody, like, I will compliment, like, your eyebrows, then I'll move to your cheekbones, then I'll move to your lips, then I'll move to your chin. Like, I will make you feel like I am attracted to you, which I am.
Yeah.
So you can feel your most confident and your most comfortable self.
Yeah.
So even when it comes to a woman's body, like, parts where maybe she wouldn't think someone would traditionally touch her and hold her, I would hold her in those positions and I'd fall in love with things that she might deem as her insecurities.
I think that you have to understand, that's like, not a very common thing with men. Because I think with you, obviously, you're a certified lover boy certificate, maybe 2 degrees of honors, PhD is program as well. So you've learned the things that you need to say.
He's a good man, Samantha. I'm a good man, Samantha.
You learned the things you need to communicate. But for the average common man, I like, listen to me, bro. Like, I, you know, my favorite body type of a woman, I'll be honest, is like not a lot of boobs, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I love it, but I'll always call them young man.
Oh,
or I'll say young man. So I will make it worse. So a lot of men, you know.
So when you say young man, you're referring to lack of boobs?
Yeah, it's because your chest is so small. Like, your chest is
I've
so
heard
small.
You call so many girls young men.
Yeah, women. I call all my shawty's like young men.
Yeah.
You feel me? Because it's a joke. Because, you know, as a young man, you basically like,
yeah.
But the point, what I'm trying to make, is that a lot of men, even I'm even putting myself there, are at fault for not reassuring women to say that, yo, like, how you are is beautiful.
Yeah.
I think media right now has done a huge 360 to try include everyone's body type. We see it with Kim Kardashian Skims, you know, her adding like a plus size lingerie and plus size models are now being incorporated so people can feel taken. But no matter what, beauty, the perception of what beauty is will always remain the same. Because it's embedded in us now.
Yeah.
It'll take our kids' kids for them to let it go.
Kids' kids, yeah.
You understand? And I think I know a lot of women. Kima, they'll be the most beautiful body you've ever seen. She looks like a painting.
Mm.
But she'll be like, I don't know, I don't like.
Oh, that's so unattractive.
And it's like, oh, as a man, it's like, dude, like how you like yourself.
Mm.
But again, it's like it's not our responsibilities to like teach women how to love themselves, and equally it's not their responsibility to teach us how to love our own body. As Tato said, it's an age thing. As time goes along, you'll see that like these things don't matter.
Yeah.
Did you know the average, I checked this before I came here actually, I just want to make sure though, 100%. The average body count for a man is like 15, 20.
Like the amount of sexual partners.
Yeah, amount of sexual partners is 15, 20. So 15, 20, 15. Let me just make sure. I just want to make 100.
Was that high? That's a fair amount. For the average man. The average man's about 30.
Body count. Oh, sorry. Men appear to be claiming a higher body count with the average lifetime. Yeah, sorry, 5. While women is 3. So the average body count for the world is like 4. Between 4 and 8 partners.
Yeah.
4 and 8 people in your life. So what that made me realize is that a lot of people are not in touch with their sexual energy. Mm. A lot of people are insecure about how they perceive themselves.
Mm.
A lot of people are not even willing to test out their sexuality.
Mm.
And that's why this podcast for me was a bit controversial, but also important, because I think we're here to tell you that you are human. Mm. You're allowed to have your insecurities, but you can't overcome them.
Yeah, they shouldn't challenge you and control you.
Yeah, you are allowed to have sexual preferences and express them.
Yeah.
You should be allowed to be your comfortable self and what you perceive sex to be, to express that without harm to anyone, of course.
Yes.
Without harm, that is the most important.
Mm.
But yeah, man, yeah, like, yo, yeah. What else is there to be said?
Yeah, 100%. No, that was amazing. So I think we're going to just do like content creators, YouTubers that we've really been enjoying this week. And then from there, we're going to go on and we're going to do the memberships video. So if you guys don't know, we add like an extra 10, 15, sometimes 30 session podcast to memberships. I think this episode might be a bit shorter than usual. Guys, please just bear with us. We're getting back into the groove of things. Like, straight after this, we're going to do an As Majita shoot, which is gonna have to happen, and then we'll make TikToks, and then we're gonna work. And mind you, it's Sunday,
we
didn't even get to go to church. But yeah, thank you so much for watching this episode, guys. My favorite content creator this week, and I've been on TikTok. I mean, I've been sending somebody TikToks the whole week, and I want to see Okay, I'm shouting out Kaya. Shout out to Kaya.
Okay, yeah, she's been cooking.
She's been cooking. She's doing clothing.
I definitely think that she's gone with such a like a higher quality of posting now.
She's improved her quality. She's improved her sound. She's trying different niches. Like if I had to view her as a content as a person, I'm like, okay, cool. You know, you're trying different niches. You're trying to find your stuff. I mean, I almost managed Kaya. And the biggest thing we were telling her is, okay, cool, dude, you're all over the place. But I think it's also very nice to have someone like that because she's a personality type content creator. So I really enjoy just seeing her personality shine in different types of niches. So shout out to her. Keep doing what you're doing. Kaya, also from Thought Digest, a banger.
Yo, I need to find my person.
Why weren't you finding them when I was talking?
Because I was listening to you and okay. I really agreed. There's a guy that I really like, but I forgot what his name is. And I really want to shout him out. Okay, but it's okay.
I want to shout out someone, but I'm not allowed to shout them out. I'll get into trouble.
Yeah, I'm going to shout out billionaire.tinashe. He's a content creator from Pretoria. Great stuff. Right now he's doing sounds and stuff, but he really is extremely relatable.
Move, bro. It's on the move.
He's extremely relatable to me. He's extremely relatable to the type of content I want to make, and I really, really enjoy him. In terms of shows and I've series, got one. What are you watching right now?
The one on Showmax.
Ultimatum.
Yes.
Hey, everyone likes Ultimatum, bro.
Like, Ultimatum, online, I really enjoy watching it with someone. Mm. Like, in my own capacity. Hey, but now, it gets so juicy. So, like,
it's juicy.
I think I can watch it by myself, but I've really been enjoying it, watching it with a friend. It's really, really good. Like, I like the fact that it's, like, trash TV. It's comedic.
Yeah.
Shout out to my friend for showing it to me. Like, I really, really enjoy it. Like, dude, it's so...
It took over TikTok. It took over the internet.
It's so good, bro.
It's a hit.
Because it's real. You can see a way some scenes are differently planned out. But
yeah, but
like,
some scenes you're like, aye, this man is speaking for me.
Yeah, this is really happening. This person is pissed off.
Did you watch the part where I'm going to say it off camera.
Kanye. Yes.
Yo, crazy, ne?
Dude, I'm at the
guys,
point
Nola,
where
Kanye, Nola, Nolo.
Kanye, Nola. I'm at the point where Kanye is just like body shaming the other girl. She called her a fatty boom boom.
I haven't heard that since primary.
Bro, when I heard it, ne, it was last night. I heard it. I was with my friend. I was just there like, I was with Percy. It's like,
fatty boom boom.
First of all, I got triggered. I'm like, yo, I used to be called that a lot.
Kanye used to be called that all the time.
Then second of all, I'm just there like, yo, it's funny as hell. Then the third time, I was like, yo, how was that girl? Like, how does she receive and feel that?
Because she also is understanding that this is going to be all played on Netflix.
But she's like, you fatty boom boom.
Get off my house.
She's like, you with your dirty teeth, get your dirty mouth. Don't come here with your dirty teeth. Go brush your teeth. That girl is...
mean.
Expressive.
Yeah.
She's vile.
She's what we call put your boundaries up and keep them up until you die. You are never incorrect.
You're never incorrect.
For me...
What are you watching?
I really don't have a recommendation this week. I haven't been watching TV. I haven't been watching show. Yeah. Which is like, by the way, guys.
It's very rare.
It's very rare for me.
It's also another...
I tried to watch an episode of... It's a show called... I'll do that. It's a show called Warrior on Showmax.
Okay.
You'd like this a lot. And if you haven't watched it, give it a watch. Mm. Basically, it's from the writer Jet Li. He basically writes his story, and actually, in fact, because he actually went through this, about a Chinese man who comes to America in the late, back in the day, basically, way back in the day, back when like slavery, all those things were fine. Mm. And he is a kung fu master who starts working for the mafia. And we basically get to see, and he's also half white. So we get, and he can speak English. So we basically see how he incorporates his world into this mafia life.
Warrior.
And also fights. There's a lot of action scenes. And you know, there's a lot of world building, great character system. They just released season 3 now, I think it was this year, which shows the success of the series itself. It's very popular.
Mm.
Very good. And I think people will really enjoy it. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Shout out. That was amazing. Also, a big shout out to us as Majita. Shout out to Sita. Shout out to Lebo. Shout out to me. I think we really appreciate being in the space. We really appreciate building new things. What have you guys so much, members? Let's have a conversation. Go over to, I think for you, it'll be there by your videos. It'll be available to you. But if you can't see the videos or if you can't watch the videos, all you have to do is join our memberships. It's really added value. It helps us really grow. It helps us reinvest. We've ordered new mics, which is very, very exciting. So thank you so much for watching. We'll see you guys next week for a brand new video of CSID with Lebo and Tato. Love you guys. Peace. Baby, give me a light. I'll be living a life.
Ray-Bans and catamaran.